We want to look at a topic that we struggle with individually. We know what the Bible teaches many times on this subject, but the actual following through of it and doing what we know we should do is a great struggle for us. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, John writes, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Confession of sin. It's something we all know that we should do. We know the Bible tells us to confess our sins, but we struggle with it nonetheless. Jamie talked about, with the Lord's Supper, talked about coming with sin that we hadn't repented of. Sometimes we prefer to try to repent of our sin without having to confess our sin. But sometimes that's ineffectual. And we'll talk about that a little more as we get later on into the lesson. The story is told of four preachers from the same town. They all went fishing together. While they were out fishing, they began to discuss things, and they started talking about their sins and their struggles and their need for confession. They realized they couldn't confess to the congregations they preached for, so they decided to confess to each other. So one confessed that he'd been guilty of adulterous thoughts toward one of the members. The second preacher confessed that he had a problem with taking some money out of the collection plate from time to time. The third preacher confessed that he liked to take a drink of whiskey every now and again. And they all stated that they had never confessed these things to anyone before. The fourth preacher was quiet. He stayed quiet for a long while, and finally they started pressing him to, "Oh, go and tell us, what's your weakness? What do you struggle with?" Finally he said, I don't think you really want to know my weakness, but since you insist, I'll tell you, I can hardly wait to get back home. I just love to gossip." You know, when it comes to confessing our sins, it is one of the reasons that maybe we shy away from it is the danger that we may tell somebody that spreads it around and doesn't treat us with love and compassion. Other possibility is that we may confess it to someone who's very condemning and judgmental of us, instead of being understanding of our struggles and our weaknesses with those things. Either one of those is a difficulty that we face and a problem that causes some people to hold their sin in and not confess it. Confession of sins is not easy for us for several reasons, not just those reasons that we discussed, but just the fact that it means humbling ourselves and opening up and being vulnerable. It means that we have to bare our soul and discuss our weaknesses with others, and we don't like to be looked at as weak at all. We'll be strong, and a lot of times we think, "Well, I can handle this myself. I can take care of it. I'm a Christian. I'm strong enough. I can do it." It's not easy for us to confess our sins. However, as we saw in 1 John 1:9, our confession is necessary if we want God to forgive us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. So many times, we even play this game with God that we somehow think that we can deny our sins to Him. And we can justify it and rationalize it. You know, that's an interesting word, rationalize. rational lies. That's what it is. It's really a bunch of lies that we've made sound rational. We come up with excuses and reasons and justifications of various different kinds to explain away why our sin isn't really a sin, or why we don't need to confess it or don't need to get it out of our lives. We want to look at three things today in regard to confession of sin. First, we want to notice that we must confess our sins to ourselves. Sometimes this is the hardest one because we've justified it and rationalized it for so long. We've convinced ourselves sometimes that what we're doing really isn't a sin. We're going to have to confess our sins to ourselves. We have to admit that we have sin in our lives. 1 John 1:8 says, if we won't confess that, then we're deceiving ourselves. Now I know, all of us are you perfect? Well, no, of course not. I've sinned. I'm not perfect. And sometimes that's as far as we go with ourselves. We say, well, you know, nobody's perfect and I'm not perfect either. I have sinned. And we think that that's good enough to cover what 1 John 1:8 is talking about here. Now, it is obviously we do have to admit that we do have sin. But you know, many times we'll go that far and we'll say, well, yeah, of course I've got sin. Everybody's sin. Right? Yeah, I've sinned. But are we willing to admit to ourselves, or are we willing to look at ourselves critically enough, objectively enough, to look and see, okay, I said I've got sin in my life, or said I've sinned. What sin? What was the sin? Because a lot of times we're freely admit, oh yeah, I'm not perfect, I have sin. But we won't admit to ourselves what it is that we struggle with. What that sin is. What that weakness is. And we've got to beware of that, because if we do that, we're still deceiving ourselves. If we say, yeah, I got sin, but I don't know what it is. If I don't know what my sin is, then I need to look a little deeper and try to figure it out. Maybe pride is my sin, if that's the case. Maybe a failure to examine myself is my sin in that case as well. There are a lot of things that can be sinful things in our lives. If we will not confess our sin, not only do we deceive ourselves and not have the truth in us, but we also make out God to be a liar, because He said we've sinned. And His Word is not in us. And that's a dangerous place to be, in a place where God's Word's not in us. There's no more dangerous place we could be than to have a place where we've called God a liar and His Word's not in us. That's a pretty precarious position to be sitting in. It is true we all have sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Of course not. There's not a one. Jesus was the only one. He was the only perfect one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans also talks about there is none that does good. There's none that seeks God. None of us. We're all together. All of us have become wicked in God's sight in some way or another. And the thing is, I can't stand up here and tell you what your sin is. I may not know. I probably don't know. And the problem is, many times, it's not the public sins that everybody knows about that are our real problem. Because everybody knows that. If I'm a liar, everybody knows I'm a liar. And they'll tell you, I don't believe you, I don't trust you, I think you're lying to me. You lied to me last week and you lied to me yesterday, and I think you're lying to me again today because you lie. And everybody knows this person lies. Well, that's not the one that gets them so many times. The sin that gets us is the one that's hidden, that secret sin that nobody else does know about. Because that's the one, if we can hide it from everybody else, then we can pretend we don't have that sin in our lives. That's why Jesus talks about what a dangerous thing the sins of the heart are. The things like anger and lust and envy and jealousy and those kinds of sins, because, well, I can be envious of you. I can be jealous of you. I can lust. I can do all those. I can do those things for years, and nobody ever know. It's a secret sin. Why, if I go out and get drunk in public, why, everybody's gonna know that. That would be front page news. Preacher from the Church of Christ was out on the square drunk. You know, he's out at the post office drunk, or at, you know, he's here or there. That'd be news. But those secret sins where we keep it within our heart are some of the most dangerous ones, because nobody finds out, and when nobody finds out, we never admit it to ourselves either. So are you in denial about your sins? It's a possibility. If so, it's time to take a self-examination. It's time to look and say, okay, what sin do I have in my life that I need to take care of? And sometimes, this second step is enough. We must confess our sin to God. Sometimes that's enough. In case of those secret sins that we talked about just a little bit ago, certainly other people don't know about it. It is possible that with it just being between us and God, that once we admit, oh, I've been doing that, and I shouldn't have been doing that, and I'm going to quit doing that, and we may confess that to God, that we've been doing that particular thing, and we're going to stop. And that may be enough. We have to go that far. Just admitting to ourselves that we have sin, it's a good first step, but that doesn't accomplish anything. We have to take it to God. If we do confess, He will forgive. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is, will we turn around and fall right back into it? That's the problem we have sometimes. You see, we have responsibility for our sin. God holds us responsible for our sin. And He expects us not only to confess it, but to follow through with repenting of it. They used to say, sometimes there'd be somebody who would come every Sunday. I need prayers of the church. I confess sin in my life. Every Sunday, I need prayers of the church. I'll confess sin in my life. Kind of like the fellow who used to pray. He'd always pray in his prayer, and Lord, remove the cobwebs of sin from our lives. And he prayed this and prayed this and prayed this over and over and over for years. And finally, one fellow got fed up with hearing that prayer, and he said, Lord, just kill the spider. And sometimes we think, well, if I just keep, you know, tell God, you know, I'm sorry I committed this sin. I'm sorry I committed this sin. But if we keep on committing it, we're not really confessing the sin with the intention of repenting of it. We're just reporting. That's what we're really doing. We're just reporting to God. Well, I committed this sin. I committed this sin. And I know in the religious world there sometimes is this idea that you don't really have to change your life. You don't really have to do anything different. Just tell God and it'll be all right. And maybe they get that from this verse. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But tied in there with that, if we look back a couple of verses, is if we walk in the light. See, we can't keep walking in darkness and just tell God, yeah, I'm walking in darkness, keep forgiving me. It doesn't work that way. We've got to come back to the light. We've got to walk in the light again. And so, they go hand in hand. Now, some people want to repent and not confess. And other people want to confess but not repent. But you can't have one without the other. They go hand in hand. And we have to have them both. Fact of the matter is, either we'll confess now or we'll confess later. Romans 14, 10 through 12 says, "But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." We're going to give an account to God. If we don't tell Him now what our sins are and confess it, well, we're going to on the day of judgment. And see, on that day, it won't be private, just me and God. It'll be in front of everybody. Everybody's going to be standing there on that day in front of the great judgment seat. There won't be any privacy then. And what's more, there won't be any forgiveness then either. See, if I want to get forgiveness, I have to do the confessing now. I can't wait till then. It's too late to confess after the fact. After it's all over. We have to acknowledge our sin. Psalm 32 and verse 5. The psalmist says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Now I want us to notice two things here. One is, in the psalm, he doesn't tell us what his transgressions, what his sins, his iniquity, he doesn't tell us what they are. But it is implied in this passage that he did tell God the specifics. He didn't just say, "God, I've sinned, forgive me." He told God what his sins were. Notice there in that verse, he says, "I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." He didn't say, "I will confess that I've transgressed to the Lord." He said, "I will confess my transgressions. I'm going to confess to God what it is that I did." You see, if we want really to have help from God, and if we really want to have forgiveness from God, we need to go to Him with the specifics. Think about the prodigal's confession in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 21. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Of course, you know the rest of that story. The father took him in, killed the fatted calf, had a feast, had a celebration party. "My son's come home. He was dead and he's alive again." And you realize Jesus told that story, that parable, as an illustration of how God wants it to be with us. When we go away, when we go into sin, when we get involved in sinful things, He wants us to come to ourselves, and He wants us to come back to Him and to say to Him, "Father, I've sinned in your sight." And of course, He wants us to tell Him what those sins are. He wants us to confess it. Now, we're not confessing God's sin, our sins to God, because He doesn't know them. Of course, He knows. He watched us do it. He probably knows better than we do what we did. Think about that in the case of Adam and Eve. And they ate the fruit. And God asked them the question, "What have you done?" They didn't know the answer to that. They knew, well, we did something God said not to do. They didn't understand what they'd done. They had just cost the Son, the second member of the Godhead, they had just cost Him His life. That's what they'd done. They didn't know it. So, yeah, God knows way better than we do what we've done when we commit sin. We need to confess our sin to God to humble ourselves. It's not because He doesn't know and He needs the information. just the same way with all the prayers that we come to Him and we ask Him for the things we need. Do you think He doesn't know what we need? Sure He does. It's not a matter of knowledge and we're going to give Him knowledge and He didn't know that and we're going to tell Him about it. We're doing this to humble ourselves in His sight. We're doing this so we can't somehow think, well, you know, I'm right up there with God. No. We come and we say, He's up here and I'm way down here and I don't even deserve to be able to come to Him, but because He said I could, I can. And here I am. And here are my problems that I have. But instead, many times, we kind of bow up and we say, well, you know, I know I got sin, but you know, I'm taking care of it. We can't take care of it. We can't take care of one single sin that we've ever committed. There's no way we can take care of it. We have to go to God. God's the only one that can forgive us of that sin. God's the only one who can cleanse us of that sin. We can't do it. There's no way we can get rid of it. It'll be there forever if we try to get rid of it ourselves. Acts 7 and verse 51, before he was stoned to death, Stephen told those people, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." You see, he told them about their sin, about how they'd crucified Christ and put Him to death being the Son of God. And he said, now, instead of repenting of that, instead of confessing that and admitting you did it and turning back to God, you're still resisting Him. And they kept right on resisting Him. They were so much not wanting to admit their sin that instead of admitting their sin, they committed another one. They killed Stephen, stoned him to death, because he pointed their sin out to them. Don't shoot the messenger. Our sin problem is a problem between us and God that we need to take care of. And we can't blame someone who points the sin out to you. Now, I know sometimes people point your sin out to you in an unchristian way. They do it in an unkind way. They do it in an unloving way. They do it because they're trying to be mean to you. But it doesn't change the fact they pointed out a sin, and it's a real sin, and it's true. Your responsibility is to God, not to how that person pointed it out to you. But as we said at the beginning of this, sometimes that's enough just to take it to God, just between you and God alone. But you know, sometimes it's not. Sometimes in addition to being responsible for our sin before God, which we already are, sometimes we need some accountability. Sometimes we need somebody in the flesh, somebody physical that we can go to and talk to about our struggles and who can be there to hold us accountable before God for doing what's right and for not only confessing those sins but repenting of them and staying right with God. Sometimes we need somebody to talk to. Now, obviously, we don't want to go talk to the gossip about that. We need to find somebody who will hold that in confidence, who will not make an issue of it, who will not look down on us and despise us because we have a sin that we've struggled with. Someone who's not so arrogant that they think they don't have any sin in their life that needs to be dealt with. We need somebody else who's humble, who admits they've got sin in their life, and perhaps we can be each other's accountability partners to help each other. Have somebody to confess to. You see, we must confess our sin to one another. Now, James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." You know that we like to quote that, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous avails much." And we pray about everything under the sun except one another's sins in that regard. We pray for the weather and we pray for safety on trips, and we pray for, you know, health and those who are sick, and we pray for all kinds of things. But we won't go to one another and confess our sins and ask one another to pray for us about our sins. We need to confess our sinful deeds. In Acts 19 and verse 18, says of the people who were converted there, and many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Notice, they didn't just come and say, well, you know, I sinned before I became a Christian. What? Duh. As they say. And of course you sinned before you became a Christian. We all sinned before we became a Christian. But it says, they came confessing and telling their deeds. They said, you know, here's what I... And in this particular setting, they had been practicing some witchcraft and some things like that, and they had books on the occult and witchcraft, and they brought those and they burned them. See, they showed their repentance in connection with the confessing. They just said, well, you know, I was involved in witchcraft, but I've still got the books at home, and next week I'll probably get back into it again. See, they brought the things that were stumbling blocks and got rid of them, got rid of the temptations. And they even took up the sum of the books that they burned. I mean, it was an exorbitant amount of money. And they just burned it? Yeah. Because their soul was more valuable than those books. And so they were willing to get that out of their lives. Sometimes we have to get some things out of our lives. But we have to confess one another. We don't just confess that we've sinned. Every Sunday, every one of us could come forward and at the invitation song and say, well, I've sinned this week. Every one of us could. Yeah, of course we could. But if it's something that's a real struggle that we need to come forward for, we need to come forward and say, this is what I've done and I really need it to be fixed. I really need God to forgive me. I really need the church to pray for me. And I can't do it on my own. I've tried for months to get this out of my life on my own, and I just can't do it by myself. I need the church to help me and pray for me and hold me accountable and be there to support me and encourage me to do better in this area. But see, in America, we're in a self-sufficient society. I can do it myself. And there are a lot of things you can do yourself. Maybe you can mow your yard yourself. Maybe you can fix your house up. Maybe you can do this or do that. A lot of things. Yeah, we can do it ourselves. But when it comes to our sin, a lot of times we can't do it ourselves. We've got to confess it to others. Now, we don't always have to confess every sin that we've ever committed to everybody else. The sin needs to be known and confessed as far as it's gone. As far as it's known, certainly. We need to go that far. Sometimes, like I said, when there's a special case where we've been struggling with something and we can't overcome it, sometimes it needs to go beyond what's already known. Sometimes I need to go to somebody and say, I've got this problem, can you help me with it? And sometimes it may get to the point even that I need to come before the entire church. Even though it wasn't a public sin, I may need to let it be known further. We need to confess our sins to one another because we need the prayers of our brethren. And they need to know that we're sorry for our sins. We need to quit pretending that, well, we're all good Christians, so we don't have any sins that we need to be forgiven of. We can't pretend that. That gets us back to what John said about being a liar if we say we have no sin. And yet sometimes because we look down on someone who does confess that they have sin, we shy away from doing it together with one another because we're afraid of what others will think of us. We're afraid, they'll think I'm weak if I admit that to them. We are weak. We're all weak, just in different areas and in different ways. And if we know that they know, that's where the accountability comes in. It gives us more incentive to overcome that sin. Somebody may ask, well, how are you coming with that? Have you had a good week? Have you had a good day? Has it been tough today? Has it been tough this week? That's the kind of thing that things like Alcoholics Anonymous do for one another. They hold each other accountable. When they get together for their meetings, how are you doing? It's important for us to get together with others who care. As we close this, we want to notice that prosperity and mercy comes from confession. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." You see, our sin should bring on us some anguish that brings us to confession and to repentance. Godly sorrow, anguish of our soul, not upset, "Oh, I got caught, so I got to tell everybody now, I got to admit that I did it because I got caught." But sorrow because when I did that, I hurt Jesus and I hurt God and I hurt myself and I may have hurt some other people. And it hurts me to hurt other people that I care about. And it hurts me to hurt my Lord. And it hurts me to hurt my Heavenly Father. But do we feel that way? Do we think that way about sin? Or do we say, I sinned. I better pray and ask God to forgive me. Do we realize the seriousness of sin? It only takes one. One sin is all it takes to keep us out of heaven. But sometimes we just kind of, it was a sin. I asked God to forgive me and it'll be all right. We have begun to take it way too lightly, if that's the case. Psalm 38 and verse 18. "I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin." When you read through the Bible, you'll find that godly people, and if you look at the verses this week that we look back at some of the Old Testament examples, the godly people mourned over sin, theirs and others around them. You know, the sinful people, they didn't care. If we want to be godly people, we've got to mourn. We've got to have anguish over our sin. What about you? Do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Do you have a sin in your life that you're struggling with? It's been in there and you've tried and tried. You've confessed it to God over and over again, but you just can't take care of it. Do you need some more help? Do you need some other prayers as well as your own? Do you need some support and encouragement from the rest of the saints? Or maybe you have a sin that's been a secret sin. You've been denying it yourself. Or maybe you admitted it to yourself, but you haven't even confessed to God that you have this sin in your life. You need to take care of those sins. You need to get rid of them. You can't run the Christian race with sin in your life, just like it would be suicide to run a marathon with a ball and chain hanging from your ankle. You can't do that. You need to respond to God's invitation this morning for sin in your life. Maybe you just need prayers of the church to help you examine your life better to find the sins that you may be struggling with. Whatever need you may have, please respond as we stand and as we sing.